Good morning. We're looking at Luke chapter 22 today in the broadcast. Luke chapter 22. And we hope that you can open your Bible right now to this passage and follow along with us. In Luke chapter 22, we're looking at the last hours of Jesus' life. Not the last days of Jesus' life, but the last hours of Jesus' life before he is arrested and before he is put to death. You see, the time of the cross is nearby. Jesus knows that he will die soon. And we need to keep that in mind as we read Luke chapter 22. When you realize, as you read Luke chapter 22, that his death is impending, it helps you to understand what's going on and what's being said. Now, we're dealing also at the time of the Passover in this chapter. In Luke 22, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." Now, the Passover was a yearly Jewish feast day. This Passover was a special holy day for Jewish people. All the male Jews of Israel were required to be in Jerusalem for this festival. And of course, this goes all the way back to Egypt in Exodus chapter 12. You'll remember that God sent Moses into Egypt to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And as Moses is there, God sends all these plagues upon the Egyptian people to convince Pharaoh that he should let these people go. And the last plague that God sent was the death of the firstborn. And so the Bible tells us that God sent the destroyer to slay the firstborn. But God told the Hebrews to kill a lamb that night and to eat it with bitter herbs. And he said, "I want you to take the blood of that lamb and put it on the two side posts and the upper door post of your house." And then God uttered these famous words in Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And of course, you have that song, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." That is what this song comes from. It comes from Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. It goes back to the Passover when it was originally given there in Exodus chapter 12. That's why it's called the Passover. Because in verse 13 of that chapter, God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." So it became known as the Passover celebration. Now the Jews did this for 1,500 years, except of course for periods when they were rebellious and didn't keep the law of God. But when they did keep the Passover, every time that they killed that lamb, every time that they put that blood on their doorpost, they pointed to the future. Now, they, of course, didn't realize what they were doing. That is, they didn't realize that they were foreshadowing or pre-representing the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what the Passover was really pointing to. It was never something that God intended for them to keep until the end of time. God was preparing these people. God was foreshadowing the perfect lamb that was going to be offered. And of course, that perfect lamb was Jesus Christ. Remember what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus coming? "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was a lamb without spot and without blemish, who was foreordained, that is, he was preappointed before the foundation of the world. So God had already decided, God had already, so to speak, made plans that Jesus Christ would die on the cross before he even made this world. God had already foreordained that Jesus would be the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. So these Jews had been observing the Passover for all these years. And they did not realize that all those lambs that they killed actually pointed to Jesus Christ. And the Jews themselves in the New Testament are about to offer the ultimate sacrifice. And they didn't even realize it then. They didn't realize that they were fulfilling Scripture. They did not realize that all of these animals in the Old Testament that had been killed and sacrificed were types of the perfect sacrifice, which would be Jesus Christ. And friends, only the infinite wisdom of God could have arranged a plan like what we're talking about. Now, in verse 1 of Luke chapter 22, the Bible talks about the unleavened bread. Now, that was a 7-day feast that came right after the Passover. There was to be no leaven in their houses. That means there was to be no yeast. There was to be no fermenting agent of any kind. There was to be no fermented food of any kind whatsoever. And the Jews took this very literally, as they should have. We find this in some writings called the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah contains traditions that had been handed down by the Jews from before the time that Jesus even was born. And so all these traditions were passed down, and they were compiled in what's called the Mishnah. And the Mishnah, which records these Jewish traditions, states that they got rid of anything fermented, whether it was a fermented food product or a fermented beverage. They got those things out of their houses because that was a form of leaven. Now, folks, there are two things that I want to point out here about this. Number one, this is why we use unleavened bread on the Lord's table. Because that night when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the Jews had already gotten rid of the leaven in their houses. They did not have leavened bread. It was unleavened bread that Jesus used on the Lord's table, or in the Last Supper, as it's sometimes called. The Lord's Supper began with unleavened bread. Secondly, this is also why we use unleavened, that is, unfermented grape juice, because Jesus did. Sometimes you'll have people arguing about whether Jesus used alcoholic grape juice or whether he used plain grape juice during the institution of the Lord's Supper. Well, folks, according to what we've said, the Jews got rid of anything that was leavened in their households. That was not just food, that was beverages as well. And so as a result, they didn't have fermented beverages of any kind in their house. They would not have alcoholic beverages in their homes. And so the beverage that was used was unfermented, non-alcoholic grape juice. And by the way, sometimes people talk about the Lord's Supper, and they talk about the beverage that was used, and they then talk about the wine that is to be used on the Lord's table. And here's the point about that, folks. The Bible never calls it wine to begin with. The Bible never calls the beverage that is to be used on the Lord's table wine. Now, even if it did, that wouldn't mean that it's alcoholic, because the word wine in the Bible many times refers to unfermented, non-alcoholic grape juice. But that does show that sometimes people get these words in their minds and they think that the Bible actually mentions them when it does not at all. The Bible plainly says that they were to get these leavening agents and leaven products, food and beverages, out of their households. And that's the setting in which Jesus observed the Passover and instituted the Lord's Supper in the book of Luke as well as in Matthew and in Mark. Now remember, in the New Testament, these two feasts are oftentimes considered as one because they ran together. So oftentimes, the feast of the Passover, which was actually a one-day or a one-night occurrence, came just before the Feast of Unleavened Bread that lasted for 7 days. And so because they ran together consecutively, they're oftentimes called Passover or Unleavened Bread. And so in Luke chapter 22 and verse 1, that's why it says, "Now the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." Most of the time, the Jews would just lump them together and call them the Passover, although sometimes they can be distinguished. Now remember that thousands of Jews will be there. Many of these people will be from out of town. And maybe, perhaps, that is one of the reasons why the Jewish leaders later were able to get the crowd on their side to say, "Crucify him, crucify him." Because we've already been told here, in Luke chapter 20 and Luke chapter 21, that the Jewish leaders wanted to kill Jesus, but they couldn't because the crowd, the multitudes, were on Jesus' side. They loved him. They wanted to hear his teaching. But during the Passover, you've got Jews that come from all nations, and perhaps some of them did not know as much as the people did in the area of Jerusalem and Galilee about Jesus Christ, and perhaps they were able to be persuaded, whereas the others were not as easily persuaded. But at least that's something to consider. Now this brings us to that fateful night. The night Jesus was betrayed. The night of the Passover. The night when he instituted the Lord's Supper. This is the scene of that famous painting, the Last Supper. Although it didn't look like that painting that you may have seen a copy of, more than likely have, it wasn't a table with four legs like we have today, or even more legs on it. Usually the Jews sat on the floor, and there was a table, so to speak, or a spread that was put on the floor, and that's how they ate. They ate more in a sitting or a reclining kind of position. That was the culture of the day, and that was the setting in which Jesus observed the Passover in Luke chapter 22. So let's pick up in verse 7. Here the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat.'" So Jesus plainly says here that he is about to eat the Passover. Now, he did that because he was a Jew living under the law of Moses. And he kept the law of Moses. That's why he's observing the Passover, just like these other Jews are going to observe it that night. Now, I have seen different times where people say that Jesus really didn't eat the Passover. Sometimes you will come across writings like that, perhaps in commentaries and in other writings where people talk about this. But the Bible plainly says here in Luke chapter 22 that the very reason that he's sending Peter and John is to get ready to prepare the Passover, that we may eat the Passover. And then, of course, going down to verse 15, the Bible plainly says, "And he said unto them, 'With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer.'" So Jesus plainly said that he was eating the Passover meal. And what he does that night is to institute an observance that is still in effect, that is still a responsibility today of Christian people, and the Bible calls it the Lord's Supper. It also calls it communion, and we're coming up to the very text where Jesus instituted that observance. So between now and tomorrow, because we're out of time today, I want to ask you to read ahead a little bit in Luke chapter 22 from where we have gotten to today. Read what the Bible says here about the preparation for the Passover. Read what the Bible says that Jesus spoke about the Lord's Supper. And then, Lord willing, tomorrow we can talk about this even more and bring some other scriptures into play that talk about the Lord's Supper. Thank you for listening today. It's been a joy to study with you. And we hope that you have a wonderful rest of the day.